recording this song because I think I'll feel more comfortable teaching you all sitting down. Psalms 19. I'm hoping maybe there's a few older people in the crowd that know this chorus. Oh, I know one. Barbara. My spouse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this song, I learned it when I was in youth camp. So that's been a few years ago. And it's stuck with me. And maybe, Nicole, if you're saying this, we're going to sing Psalms 19, 7 through 11. Anybody know this? Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. No, 19. 1-9. 19. That's what I'm going to be talking about tonight is Psalms 19. So, you know, this came to my mind. And what it is, it's got three stanzas. 7 is a stanza, 8 is a stanza, 9 is a stanza. Okay, just like you just sang three stanzas of that last song. The chorus is verse 10. All right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sing you the first stanza and the chorus, and then we'll sing the first stanza and chorus together. All right? And we'll see if you guys catch on to the melody. So I'm going to go from 7 to 10. All right? All right, here we go. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Anybody want to try that yet? I'm gonna sing it. Just if you can, join in. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. All right, I see some people trying. The only way to learn a new song is to just get as much as you can. Some people think if I just listen to it, but you gotta blurt it out, right? I'm going to go to stanza 2, which is verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And then on the last time we sing the chorus, we go to verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Kind of got a catchy tune, doesn't it? Let's sing the first stanza one more time, and the chorus, and the refrain on the chorus, all right? And then we'll go on with something else. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Yeah, that's pretty good. How many have sung out of the Bible before? Wow.
What? Songs, I mean, there's been songs, you know, that have scripture.
The hymnals we have are great. Huh?
Where did you learn that?
Youth camp. Back when I was junior high youth camp, I think. I never met the person. I don't know the person who wrote it, the tune, but I tell you, when I sing that chorus, it's like it matches the words. I don't know. I'm a music guy. I led at church we were in Iowa. I was a song leader for 30 years. So it's like I love music. And that same hymnals of the hymnal we've sung out of, and I tell you, sometimes the tune doesn't match the words, you know. But when you get something where the tune matches the words, man, that then it really, it's like victory in Jesus. Those tunes and those words just match. How many of you have heard of in Chicago, what's that place called? The Mission. Yeah. You ever heard of the Mission in Chicago? The Union Mission? It's a big thing that where they reach the lost people. Kind of like Kansas City has, but it's a Bible based one. It's really good. They have this group of guys, they just take them on the road to go to churches and sing. And these guys give their testimony about how their lives have just changed, and they were just on the streets, homeless and everything else. And they get up there and sing Victory in Jesus. It's just like gives you goosebumps. Because, man, they sing it. They sing it out loud, these guys. They really do. And it was started by Moody in Chicago. And it's still going today. Anyway, we're so excited to be here. I mean, I've been waiting for this over a year because back in February, I think it was February 23rd, we had that snowstorm when my team was supposed to come. And who would have thunk we got, you know, 6 inches of snow and we couldn't make it. So actually, what we planned on doing then, I'm doing now. I said, hey, I wanted to do it then, we're going to do it now. So tonight, I'm going to be talking to you about Psalms 19. And tomorrow, you're going to hear from Dijon. And Dijon's going to be looking at one of the greatest types in the Bible on manna being a type of the Bible. All right. Our emphasis is really what I want to emphasize to be is how our daily walk, our daily word, everything we do should be centered around this book. You know, I do a lot of stuff where I fix things. I'm a handyman. I do a lot of things, and I'm not your typical man anymore. I don't throw away the instructions and try it and then go dig them out of the garbage and figure out what you're doing. I look at the instructions. I really do. And anymore, they're really well written. And if you skip one step, I mean, even on a high-end product, if you skip a step and you put the wrong size screw in, which happened to me once, I broke the thing because it was too long a screw. It had to be a 16th of an inch shorter. And I just had the wrong screw. So instructions, right? The manual? The guy that invented it did the manual. This is your manual for you. You as a soul that Christ died for, this is your manual. This is the only way you can find peace and happiness. So that's what we really want to be emphasizing about, is how God has taken Revelation and brought it down right here to us, and how it affects our daily walk, our daily talk, and how it will feed us daily. Okay? And I've asked my team members to be ready to give a short testimony. We're not going to have one person give a long testimony. We're just going to... I'm going to call in a couple of them today and a couple of them tomorrow just to give a testimony of how the Word of God has worked in their life. So, you know, that's part of what we want to get accomplished this weekend. And, you know, I've got a great team. These guys, I mean, I'm going to ask for a better sign-up in a group that I've got to know every one of them in one way or another through prayer group or through ministry together. So I'm going to ask... Bill, you want to start us off here?
Sure.
Bill Tillman.
I'm Lauren Nyhart. For those who don't know me.
You know, talking about just our daily life, I've spent most of my life working construction, and I'd have to say the last 20 years I've found myself in a supervisory position role, and in the last couple of years I've taken on another role in the construction industry, just even more responsibility, and my wife knows this, so I'll share this with you. One thing that I can be from time to time is a worry wart. There are times I worry about things that don't need to be worried about. And so one of the verses I go to is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. And it says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And what that verse is basically saying is one day at a time. Don't worry about the things you have no control over. Don't worry about tomorrow. Worrying doesn't change anything in your life. What worry does is it's a state of mind that kills you spiritually. And if you're constantly worrying about things, it's going to affect your walk and your relationship with the Lord. So, you know, the other thing to take from that verse is, you know, we're not guaranteed a tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth, if it's even going to, you know, happen. So, don't waste your days worrying about tomorrow. You know, it's hard enough to get through just one day in this world. And today's trouble are enough for us, you know. So, you gotta put your faith and you gotta put your trust in the Lord that He's gonna take care of you. And you gotta believe in what God says He will do for you. You know, it's amazing the defeat, you know, as Christians that we live in every day, because we don't put our faith in God. We don't take our troubles, we don't take our worries to the Lord. And He tells us, you know, take it to Him in prayer. Let Him bear that burden. You know, and God will never give you more than you can handle. You know, I've learned that throughout my whole life. He's not going to put on more than you can handle. Romans chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all the ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." You gotta learn to take yourself out of the situation and let God take control. Let Him direct your paths. And that means you gotta take yourself out. Most of my life, I battled with the Lord, my will versus His will, and I always end up on the losing end. I'm telling you, you got to submit yourself to His will, and He's going to take care of you. God's enough, and you just got to submit yourself to Him. And I'll leave you with this. This is what Bob Jones Sr. said. Bob Jones Sr. is an old evangelist. He was born, I think he was born like 1870-something. He died in 1968. But this is what he said about tomorrow. He said, "The best preparation for tomorrow is to do what you ought to do today. If you do today what you should do, you will be in the center of the will of God tomorrow. The problem is today is a mess, so we glamorize tomorrow thinking it's going to be a better day. But tomorrow is built on what you do today. So don't fret, don't worry about tomorrow. Put your trust, your faith in the Lord, and He will get you through. He's got me through 49 years, so he's not going to turn your back on you. If anything, I've turned my back on Him many times, but God has never turned His back on me and left me stranded without, you know, any hope or anything. So that's what I got for you.
Amen. Thanks, Bill. Nicole, Nicole Brackeen. You can stay seated if you wish.
That'd be great.
They'll hear you.
Okay. That's good. You know, when Lauren asked us to put this together, you know, our testimony, what the Lord's done with us, I had to look back because I've been saved since I was a teenager, and I'm not going to blurt out how old I am like Bill. you know, but when I started, I knew that I should be reading this book, and I would pick it up, and honestly, it was the greatest sleep agent I ever had. I would get in this book, and I'd start reading, and next thing I know, my head was asleep on it, and, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, and yet I knew I should be reading the book, and so I kept going to church throughout that, almost my whole life, and I would hear people talk about not what they were hearing on Sundays, but what they were learning out of the Bible, and I was like, gosh, I want to get something out of the Bible. So the only thing I knew to do is I started taking classes, and I was taking every class there was to take. And somewhere in that time, Steve ran into Bob Alexander, who was Steve's childhood pastor, and so that's how we connected with Bob. And we started going to church at Old Pass, and we're there on Thursday nights, and we're there on Sunday mornings. And one night on a Thursday night, we were going through Isaiah, and we're reading Isaiah 27:1, which talks about a Leviathan. And that night, we were taking the Bible, and we were going through and explaining, what is a Leviathan? That is not a term we use today. And so we're using the Bible to break down what that is. We're looking at Scripture, interpreting Scripture. And at the time, I had an NIV Bible. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people who don't understand what the big difference is. And without going into historically and how that was all put together, I'll tell you that that night we're sitting there and we're tracing out what the word Leviathan means and who the serpent is and who that great devil is. And it was so exciting to be in that Bible and understanding how the Bible interprets itself. It was not amazing. I'd sat through so many classes where people said, oh, I think it means this. Well, I think it means that. And here we had a book that would define it. And I'm sitting there looking at my NIV Bible and it wouldn't do it. It would not trace out this word. And I remember getting so excited about the book and yet so angry that I had spent so much time in a book that wasn't even a complete book, that couldn't even trace itself out. And there began my excitement of, I've started to really get in my Bible of studying out words, doing word searches, and it just became really fun seeing how these words magically fit together and what was going on. And yet at the same time, I didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. About that time in our lives, Steve and I went through a really tough season. Steve had been in a really bad car wreck, and they found a tumor in his spinal cord, and it probably brought us to the place we needed to be, probably the lowest point in our life, literally on the ground crying because life was so heavy. And I didn't have that relationship with the Lord to get me through that. And so in turn, instead of having hope and encouragement, I built anger and I built frustration and I built a serious heart of ungratefulness of what was going on. And at the same time, I'm still going to church and I'm still going to Bible study. It's like, how does a Christian, somebody who claims to love the Lord, and I had claimed the Lord as my Savior, how do I walk in that state of mind? Well, it's because I didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. And as we kept going to church and I kept plugging in and I was still getting excited about these word searches. I mean, it's one thing to know a lot of facts about the Bible, but it wasn't helping me in my own personal life. And through all those Bible studies, I started seeing verses. Actually, some of these verses were given to me. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And the thing about, I claimed that verse. By golly, did I claim that verse. And I would, any time my mind would start to get spun up and I'd start to make myself sick in my stomach about things going on, I would start to sing hymns and I'd memorize those, or repeat those verses I said. And I'd even said, Lord, you told me and I have perfect peace of mind. If I kept my mind on you, you need to give me more. And then one day I read rest of the verse. I was only reading half of it. It says, because he trusteth in thee. And at that point, I needed to learn how to trust the Lord. You know, it's not enough just to have these facts that are exciting and seeing how this book opens up and it's alive, but I had to learn how to trust the Lord. And then I was shown a verse in 1 Thessalonians 3:13. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." it's not enough that I'm just memorizing those songs. And they're great songs. I mean, that was awesome, Lauren. That was a great song tonight. But that's not enough. I need to recognize this book for what it is. It's not, I mean, and Lauren's great. It's not Lauren that's so great. It's not Bob that's so great. It's this book that's so great. And God gives them the words to share with us when we need it the most. And so from there, it's like, you know, I like to garden, and I kept thinking about this as I was putting this together, the things that God was taking out of my life, like the weeds in my garden, those old ways I would think, my old attitudes, and he was starting to put new things in my life, like verses like Psalms 119, 165 that tells me, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend me. You know, that's really great to say, but when you're in the heat of it, do I really believe it? And, you know, I had to get my attitude of heart wrapped around that so that in any state, anything that came my way, I could still have that peace of mind. And so as God was working on me with that, he then gave me two places that really brought things in perspective for me. John 21:25, he says, and there also are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And, you know, that's a really awing moment for us. Because God did so many things that if they were written down, the world couldn't contain all those. So that means that he handpicked every word that he put in this book for me. 66 love letters he wrote to me. And on top of that, if we look at Psalms 139, 17 and 18, not only did he write 66 love letters to me, but he tells me, how precious are they, thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they should be more in number than sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. He thinks of me more than there is sand in this world. You know, most of us in here have held a handful of sand. Can you count those granules? That's how much he loves us. His death on the cross, this book, how much he desires that relationship with me, that's when I was able to maintain that peace, that joy in my life. You know, this book, it wasn't just one moment or one Bible study for me. It's been a process of growing and learning to love the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul. And this book, I mean, it's not just a book to read. It is exciting. It is fun to search out those words, but this book will transform your life. It'll take away that anger and that frustration, and it'll give you that joy that no matter what you're going through, you can withstand it and have that happiness and joy in your life.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And before I forget, the Jacksons are coming, Nick and they may just walk right in. I told them to just walk right in. I hope they do anyway. He got away late, so. Let's bow forward for him, okay? Father, we thank you for gathering us together. We thank you for just your love for us. How you just work in each one of us in the way we need to be spoken to. But without this book, we can't hear you. God, just pray that somebody tonight will be encouraged to seek your mind, to be thirsty for understanding this book you've given us. We just thank you, your design and your plan for all this that we've come to know as a physical life, but we learned to look at it from a spiritual perspective. I just pray that you just guide me by the words and just use your scripture for as it is needed in each person's life here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm probably going to go on a speed course, but I'm determined to go through all of Psalms 19, okay? So we're going to take it in three chunks. So the first, go to Psalms 19, and I'm going to read the first six verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now we're going to go to a couple of passages, and we're just going to read these passages so I can refer back to them, okay? We're going to go to Romans 1, and if you don't get there right away, don't worry about it. Just listen as I read. Romans 1, I'm going to read verses 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God showeth it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now I want to turn to Genesis 1:16. Everybody can find that one easy. Genesis 1:16. This is talk about creation, of course, and it says, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." Now let's go to Job 9. Job chapter 9, which is right before Psalms. You know, you can find Psalms real easy because it's about the center of your Bible. You guys that want to do well in the sword drill, you just come see me. I'm teaching some tricks. I like sword drill. Number one thing, you got to have a Bible that's worn in, man. Don't have a new one. 9:9. It says, let's pick it up with verse 8. Verse 7. Which commanded the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. Those are all stars. Talking about the stars, okay? Let's go to Job 38. Job 38. Verse 31 and 32. It says, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons?" Malachi 4:2. Didn't know you were going to be looking all these places, did you? I'm taking them all at the beginning, so we don't have to go to them individually. We're going to Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 4:2 says, "But unto you the fear that fear my name shall the Son," notice capitalized, "of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Talks about the gender. "And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the sow." Now let's go to Psalms again. Go to Psalms 8. This whole psalm is talking about creation also. It says, verse 3, "When I consider," Psalms 8:3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him?" And then go to Psalms 147. You're seeing a common denominator, I'm sure, throughout all these. Psalms 147. 147, we're going to just look at verse 4. Well, verse 3. "He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by their names." Plural, right? Now let's go back to Psalms 19. Everything, and how many of you listened to the Bible study last night? So I can get a relationship. Any Lincoln people listen in last night?
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Okay. So, some of what it'd be helpful because some of what Bob, a question he answered, was talking about stars and celestial and terrestrial. But the, when I look at Psalms 19, the thing that you're seeing here is that, you know, God didn't just start from the middle. He didn't start with computers. He didn't start with all the sophistication we have today. He started with basic man in the garden, right? Honestly, I think that's where man is more. I mean, I getting in the dirt, growing things. Most people don't even had never gotten in the dirt. You know, we're so far away from what the original design of that God gave us to. That's why Bill's talking about stress. You know, that this world is just it's formula for stress. Everything we do, you know, God had a plan and He let it progress, and we call it dispensation. I call it, you know, you got a dispenser, a paper towel dispenser, you know, it unfolds. I like the folding kind. It folds and you bring it out, it unfolds. God unfolded what He wanted to tell us in a marvelous way. You know, we're, what we believe is creation was like 4,000 B.C., we're 6,000 years down the road, okay? And what He started out with was right here. He started out with stars. I don't know how many have been ever studied or heard about the gospel of the stars. The gospel of the stars was God's revelation. And there's a book put out, and I'm going to show you. It's this man, E.W. Bollinger. Most of what he has is pretty good. He's got a Bible. He's way back before everything kind of went downhill. But it's called The Witness of the Stars. It's not an easy read. I'm not a really star guy. I know Pastor Bob, that's what he did for the longest time. And first of all, I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't major in what God minors in. You know what I'm saying when I say that? And the fact that in your Bible, the passage that I gave you is about all you're going to get about the stars. You know why? Because our Bible is the final revelation. This is the last thing. But what I find amazing is that when God gave the stars, and I want to show you something here. This guy this is all the constellation, okay? 12 constellations, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles, 12 thrones, 12 dozen eggs. I mean, 12 is a good number. God uses 12 for government and everything else. But if you've ever studied, and this book gets into it, in the stars at night, there are more than one pictures of Satan and Christ, of a throne, of an altar. There is the gospel of the stars. So we don't know. We know that Job, you know, Job lived. That's why I go to the book of Job. It's the oldest book in the Bible. What do you mean? Genesis is the oldest book in the Bible. Well, I'm talking about when it was written. Moses lived after Job. Job lived during Abraham. Okay? Moses was all after Abraham. So Job was living in a time period that they didn't have the nation of Israel. God's revelation to man, one of the major revelations was still the stars. And in fact, if you even look at the Great Pyramid, you know, the great big pyramid, the big one without the cap on it, if you look at that, that was probably even designed by God and built by Job, some people think. If you look at it, there's a particular star that comes out and points at the same star all the time. There's reasons for everything that is out there, and all of them come back to God. You know, some people get worried about the bigger telescope and a bigger microscope. What will scientists find with a bigger telescope? God. They're just going to find more endless God. A bigger microscope, what have they found? God. It actually disproved evolution. There are so many things, and when they get the DNA, and now they're calling it, you know, what are they calling it? Intelligent creator. That's just one way of, you just don't want to fess up. that there is a God of all gods. There is a God, and he did create this whole thing, and it's for a reason. All these stars, and I can't see them. All I can see is a Big Dipper. I mean, I think that's probably the only thing I can pick out. And the North Star, because if you can find a Big Dipper, you can find a North Star, right? North Star is, it's not by accident that gravity and that up is north and down is south. It's no accident that it's hot in the south. So when you say things are going south, you know what that means? They're going bad. All right? You know what going to hell is? Hot. Going bad. You know what the coldest place on the earth is? What's the South Pole called? That is the coldest place on earth. You know what you get when you get down there? You get burned. That's what they call it, right? Frostbite? You know what that is? That's a burn. It's a picture of hell. Even though it's cold, it's the same thing when you look up north. So all these things, let's look here. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and a firmament showeth his handiwork. Right there, handiwork. Everything that you and I communicate with is by hand, right? Even you guys are doing your taxes, you're still using your fingers, you're still using your thumbs. Yeah, you may speak and it misspells, and then you have to correct it, right? But the main thing is, what I'm trying to say is, all the way through this whole design, God uses lines, words, speech, his revelation. So it said in Romans that the invisible things of God are clearly seen by the visible, right? So in other words, the sun. Remember the verse we read? The sun of righteousness rises in your heart? Right there. There's a picture of God the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son, you can see him. They saw him when he was on earth. He's the light rays. God the Holy Spirit. I can't see the Holy Spirit, but I can feel him. I know he's present because you can feel him. So that's the sun rays. That's the heat rays, right? Then the rays that you can't see nor feel, but they can actually hurt you, right? You can get skin cancer, ultraviolet rays, you spend too much sun. That is God the Father. You can't see him. Nor can you feel them. But you know what you can see? You can see the effect on you. I can see a sunburn, right? That's the effect that God the Father has. And the idea is that, well, let's take for instance, well, the moon is a reflection, right? And you got a new moon and an old moon. Which one's the dark one? New or full? Which one's the new moon? The full one or the dark one? The dark one. That doesn't make sense, though, does it? Why is a new moon black? But it is. And I got to thinking about this. You know, as the moon is a picture of a Christian, and it's also a picture of the church. It's actually a picture of Israel. But you know, when you forget safe, your light doesn't shine very bright. Right? When you become a new believer, your light doesn't shine very bright. But as you grow in Christ, As you grow and the older you get, next thing you know, you're as bright as can be, right? And you're beautiful. Why? Because you're reflecting Christ. The reflection of Christ. You have no light of your own. Only light comes from the sun, which is a picture of Christ. So the other day, last year, how many watched the solar eclipse? Everybody probably, right? Wasn't that cool? But you know what? You know what that's a picture of, though, really? It's a picture, because the moon is blocking out the sun. When we are not Christ-like, they don't see the sun. When the church has lost the truth, they don't see the sun. Because it's hard to believe that little bitty image compared to the sun can block out. But when I'm looking at you across the room, if I go like this, if it's close enough to me, I can't see you, right? So our testimony can be blocked if we're doing that. The world will not see Christ. The other way about it is the lunar eclipse. What's a lunar eclipse? Lunar eclipse is when the earth gets between the sun and a Christian. When you become interested in worldly things, you know why you don't reflect the sun? Because the earth is between you and God. You're too worldly. You're not going to be a good example, right? So let's go here. It says, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. These things are out there. They were out there from the beginning. I was saying that you can't see them. You know what? When the Ethiopian eunuch wanted, he was reading the book of Isaiah, and Philip goes up to him, and Philip says, understandest what thou readest? What did he say? How can I unless some man show me? You would have to get somebody that knows more about the stars than I do to find out where these constellations are at, because it's like connecting dots that I can't connect the dots. And sometimes that's when we come to this book, it can be that way. Okay? That's why you need to know. And God will put people in your life. When you're searching, God will put people into your life. Stephanie probably has this testimony, right? I don't know. There's just somebody put in her life. She was brought to church and she realized that, hey, she started to connect the dots. She started to see how that things go, because it's something you have to desire, but it's also something that we have to share. He wants us to have to share it. He could do it all on his own if he wanted to, but he chose to use us to share the gospel with others. It says in verse 4, their line is gone up throughout all the earth, and their words in the end of the world. In whom hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is the bridegroom cometh out of the chamber. You see how we're switching from just talking about stars, and all of a sudden it's talking about future. The bridegroom is Christ. If there's a bridegroom, there must be a bride, right? We're the bride of Christ. Now it's actually switching. The revelations is coming down to where we live today. But you also know that lines, talking about words, speech. Now look in verse 6. It says his, and all of a sudden it's got a gender, right? So we know it's talking about God. We know that God is using creation to teach us of who he is. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. What is the heat? The Holy Spirit. There is nothing hid from the Holy Spirit. Everybody that is coming to this world, it says that he gave the Holy Spirit to convict them of sin, to reprove them of unrighteousness, right? And the idea is that he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Nobody's got an excuse. That's what it said in Romans, right? One reason is you got the stars. You can either choose to say, I need to figure out what this is all about. And you can go study the monkeys, or you can study the God that created it. You can worship the creation, or you can worship the Creator. You have a choice. Everybody's got that choice. I've heard of missionaries that go into the barren places, and you know what they say? We knew you were coming. Because they didn't know what they wanted, but they know they wanted to know who made the stars. That's what God put them there for. Now let's go on to the next, the one that we sang. Talking about the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's the very first thing. All of a sudden, now we've gone from just celestial to now he's talking about the law of the Lord. Which, you know what it says about the Ten Commandments? That he wrote it with his finger. The finger of God wrote the first scripture. And then you talk about duplicate scriptures. We worry about losing scriptures. And somebody said, well, we lost the originals. We lost the originals. What happened to the first original scriptures? Moses broke them. Now, how do we know the second one turned out as good as the first one? It's ridiculous. God is in control. God did it. God wrote with his finger. All right? So now he's going to write you and me personally, and he's going to preserve them, and he's going to pass them down. You know you have a 6,000, not six, I think Moses wrote his in 2,000, so it's 4,000-year-old. The book of Job is probably, they say, the oldest legit writings, earliest writings that they ever found. The book of Job. And that's a fact, okay? So now we're going from celestial to written. And look what it says, converting the soul. So now all of a sudden it's coming down to what it's aimed for. It's aimed for the soul of man. It's not aimed for your flesh. It's aimed for your soul. It's aimed for that spiritual part of us that goes on for eternity. A conversion of the soul. And that's what Nicole had been talking about. The conversion that has to take place. The law shows us who God is and how holy he is and how far we fall short of that. Right? So then it instructs us on how we can become more like him and how we can have that relationship with him. So it says, the first thing it says, it's perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know, sometimes what I like to do is the best way to kind of prove a point sometimes is to look at the opposite. Okay? So when we think about the opposite, I think about, you know, testimony. Well, have you ever been in a jury trial? Have you ever been in a trial and you hear testimonies and you hear people? How many times have you caught people in lies? How many talk about, you know, we think this person is one thing, his testimony, but when it comes down to it, it's about every day there's something revealed, right? There's a new politician, there's a new person that we actually see the sinful soul that we all are. You know, I don't want you all to know what everything I've done either. I've gotten taken care of with God. It's between me and God, and I'm forgiven. But man's testimony is never going to be perfect. We just aren't. But the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I like to consider myself a simple person. All right, a simple person will listen when somebody gives them wisdom. We'll seek out the truth. You know, it's not gullible person. Just because you're simple doesn't mean you're gullible. But it means you can be wise. A simple be wise. This verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You hear anything negative there? Anybody hear anything negative? There's nothing negative in that whole chorus we sang. In all three verses, there's nothing negative. But let's look at the opposite side. Let's look at statutes. You know, statutes, we've got them. Well, let's first look at God's statutes. You know, one of the statutes in the Old Testament was that the showbread had to be on that table. The bread had to be put out. It had to be laid out. We're also supposed to be in the Word daily. That's a statute for us. It's a statute in the Old Testament. Another statute was that the oil was never supposed to be allowed to go out, right? There was a statute in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what it means to quench the Holy Spirit? You let the oil run out. Okay? You basically, to quench your thirst means that your thirst went away. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't make him go away. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. That's a statute. It even says it's a statute in Exodus, okay? So we have statutes in our Christian life just as the Old Testament. They're all pictures for you and I today. But, you know, the statutes of men. The statutes of men are, if you're at a stoplight and it's red, like the one by the church, there's absolutely nobody coming. You cannot leave. That's a really good statute, right? It protects us. Statutes such as, we know when they rate movies. When they rate movies, you know what they rate them for? Money. When I was a kid, there was no such thing as PG-13. All right? But they found out that, you know, R, there was PG, there was R, right? Everybody, old man, like me, there was PG and R. All of a sudden, so it was really, most of the movies back then were, you know, not for kids, were R. And nobody could go. You had to be, what, over 17. But you know what the statute turned out to be? They changed it a little bit. You know, they invented PG-13. And the PG-13 was like, we can get kids and adults. We can make more money. So now they'll make a movie that's PG, but the statute says that in order to be PG-13, you got to use a cuss word. You've got to do something to make it 13. They've sent their movies off to get rated, and they pre-G. They'll send them back. They'll do something and make sure they're 13 because that's a statute. Man's statutes are not for you and me. God's statutes are for you and me. They're to protect us. They're not to make money. Men's statutes are just about money. They're about power. If you haven't figured it out yet, the government wants to replace God. That's the bottom line. They want to be God, collectively. Now let's go on to the next one. It says, the commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. That's a great phrase. It says in Ephesians, when you receive Christ, that your spiritual eyes will be enlightened. The lights come on. You actually see through people. You can see things as a fighting them spiritually rather than seeing through the fleshly light, right? It's like when Jonathan took and had honey and he put it in his mouth, you're enlightened. You ever been in that physical state where, man, you just need something? And you know, and what Jonathan took was honey and it just enlightened him? We get that same effect spiritually when you go to the book. You can get that same enlightenment and you can see things and see really where the battles are at by looking at the commandments. Okay? The commandments of the world. Look at the negative side. The commandments of the world are keep out. Private property. Right? No guns. No Bibles. No prayer. There's always ulterior motives. The commandments of the men are to control people. Right? Let's go to the next one. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The fear of the Lord is the fear of the Lord. I can't put it any other way. One way you can look at it is that if you had a parent that really laid, you know, you did something wrong, you fear they find out. That was real fear. Is there anything wrong with that fear? There really isn't, is there? Because you should be held accountable for what you're doing. Our fear of the Lord should be that, hey, he's my Heavenly Father. I don't want to do something because I know he'll find out. That fear should be there. But you know what about the fear of the Lord? Is that it keeps us in the right. It never turns out wrong. Have you ever feared the Lord and it turned out wrong? I can't think of any time that I feared the Lord and it turned out wrong. But what is the world doing today in fear? You know, I was in management. I've been through the business world and been through all the courses and all this stuff. Number one thing was drive out fear. Don't manage by fear. How many have ever been managed by fear? Everybody in the room could probably raise their hand. How long does fear management work? About as long as you leave the room. Right? Or they go look for another job. But you know, the world tries to manage by fear too many times. I mean, it used to be that the badge was enough, but what you find out, the world, it's not anymore, is it? They don't fear that anymore. Number one is they don't fear God. Now they become where they don't, just wearing that badge that used to give them some protection. They don't give them protection anymore. There's no fear. Laws, they're now getting so brazen, they'll do it in the middle of the day. They'll steal things in the middle of the day. Because the fear is gone. And they don't know how to get it back, do they? Well, the only really true way to get it back is the fear of God. And the fear of the Lord. So, that's the opposite. Let's go on. And it says, the judgments of the Lord, true and righteous altogether. You think there's any innocent people in prison? There has been, hasn't there? Man's judgments aren't all that great, right? I mean, anybody been on a jury? It gets tense, doesn't it? If you've ever been on a jury. Man's judgments are never going to be perfect. God's going to be, though. I mean, everything in this is positive, isn't it? David one time had the choice of being put in the judgment of the world or judgment of God, and he chose, I'll take God anytime. Because I know his motives are for my good. If I take the judgment of man, that who knows? It's all going to be selfishness, right? So the judgments of the Lord, they're true and righteous altogether. Think of O.J. Simpson. And do I need to say any more? You know? Everybody in prison is innocent, if you ask them, you know. We don't know. There are some innocent people in prison. Let's go on. It says, more to be desired are they than gold, and they than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You know, those are two of the worst things that America has. They want the gold, money, and we love to eat. We love food, don't we? We love the sweets. Those are our two things. But you know what? What would our physical looks be like if we had that same appetite that God just said? If we had the appetite for this gold, that's kind of what this is. What it says, this is to be more desired than gold. Right? How many wear gold? Anybody got gold on tonight? Everybody probably has some gold. Well, I don't. My wife wears my wedding ring. Too dangerous. But everybody's got gold, right? And who doesn't like sweets? You know what it says? It's supposed to, as a newborn babe desires sincere milk of the word. You ever seen a baby when they're hungry? What's their desire? Our desire. We sometimes put the emphasis on the milk in that passage. No, it's as desire the sincere milk of the word as a newborn babe. The desire is the emphasis of that passage. How much do you desire? Do you desire it as much as a baby desires milk? You know, babies are pretty easy. Yeah, women think. Let me finish it. They're easy to figure out, Nick. When they're really young, what is it? They want something to eat, diaper change, or sleep. You got three things. You know, it could be all three. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? But we know when they desire to eat, right? So the more to be desired are they than gold, they are than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honeycomb. More of them is thy servant ward, and keeping of them is their great reward. Great reward. It says, if we study the word of God, it says in Timothy, our profit will be seen unto other people. The reward is you get to share it with other people. The reward is that you, as Bill's saying, you quit fretting about tomorrow. That's a reward, right? And how to study? It's just like I'm showing you here. You take the physical and you translate it into spiritual. You see what God is talking about. You see that Leviathan is connected to the serpent. It's connected to, and if you, what I do with my chart, it goes right back to this chart. There's a snake in the sky. He put it in the Gospel of Sardis. That's where Leviathan started, right? And Satan fell down from that. It's all connected. So, moreover, in other words, greater than that, if you study the Word of God, you're going to get warned, and you're going to get rewards. Now the last part, I'm going to read 12 through 14. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's now, all this has been said, and the psalmist, and what God is saying is that this is why you need it. You and I, we are kind of blinded to who we really are. It's all of a sudden, we need to see, the Bible's referenced to as a mirror. When I look in it, and I have the open heart, I actually see the true me. You know, we can put up a front around a lot of people. We can look pretty good. But the bottom line is we need to be honest and open with God. And when we study the Bible, we our selfishness should come out. We should give it all over to Him. You know, there's troubles in our lives, like Bill is talking about, and the time that Steve and Nicole went through. I have a philosophy that it can do two things to you. It can toughen you or it can tenderize you. And God wants to tenderize you. Too many people, they toughen. They toughen and they, no, no, they're going to get through this. They're going to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps rather than get on their knees. As she said, they were down on their knees. They were crying. That's tenderizing, not toughening. You know, and that's what the Word of God wants to do to you. It wants to tenderize you. It wants to help you to be more sensitive to spiritual things, to sensitive of needs around you. When somebody has cut you off, you see it as, man, that guy needs the Lord, right? I've got a rule, and I've been riding with people. When you're near a hospital, people sometimes really do, they drive stupid. Where's their mind? I had a guy I was riding with, and we were near a hospital. He started, his co-worker, and he started getting on his person. I said, Doug, I got this rule. When I'm near a hospital zone, I just don't even get worried about it. Because, Doug, he may have just come back from seeing somebody die or visiting somebody or, you know what I'm saying, going through something. But if you go through life thinking about what people are going through rather than what they're doing to you, it kind of changes your perspective, doesn't it? Look outward instead of inward. So it says, who can understand his errors? Who can cleanse me from secret faults? The Word of God can. Keep back thy servant for presumptuous sins. Here's where we're going to get it. You know, we all have those sins we start to think about. Presumptuous sins is ones that you think about. You think about too long, and soon the next thing you know, you're doing them. This is going to keep that in check. When you study the Word of God in the morning, when you give your daily time, that'll help you from the presumptuous sins, the things that you plan for. Let them not have dominion over me. There's a key word. If you study, there's another Bible word, reign and dominion, because the theme of the Bible is a kingdom. The theme of the Bible is not salvation. The theme of the Bible is not the blood of Christ. The theme of the Bible is a kingdom. And you and I, we got into the kingdom of God. Who's going to have dominion? It says in Galatians. It says in Romans. It's all about dominion. Who's, are you going to let sin reign in your body? Or are you going to let Christ reign in your body? It's about that. See, let him not have dominion over me. Then I will be upright. You know, a fruit tree that is wilted, that is bent over, any kind of plant that is, you know, weeping, it's not upright. It's not going to bear good fruit, right? We need to be upright. And I shall be innocent of the great transgression. Well, the only thing I can, a lot of people wonder, what's the great transgression? Well, the greatest transgression would be to reject God, would be to reject Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That would be the great transgression. To not love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and love thy neighbor as yourself, that would be the great transgression, right? So it says, I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And 14 is a verse I've memorized in the past. 14 is one of the best verses in Psalms, because it says, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That's what it's about. It's not my sight. It's not Pastor Bob's sight. It's nobody else's sight. It's God's sight. It's saying, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, the words of your mouth come out of the abundance of your heart. If all you're about is sports, that's all you're going to talk about. If all you're about is your work, that's all you're going to talk about. If all you're about is money, that's what comes out of your mouth. Okay? If your initiative is something to do with this world, that's what you talk about. That's what you know about. If you're a computer geek, you talk computer geek, right? But if you are studying the Word of God and you're concentrating on spiritual things, that's what you end up talking about. Meditation is not what you're doing when you're studying. It's not the brain. It's the meditation of your heart. Perfectly what Nicole said. Getting this without it penetrating the heart is not meditation. Meditation is when I get this and when I look up at the stars. I mean, I woke up one time we was camping like 9,000. There was no restrooms, let me tell you. There was no running water. We were up high. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I got out there, and I saw them stars. I just sat there. And what's that song you sang? How Great Thou Art? I don't know if you sang that song, but I think about how great Thou art. What God has done. The amount of stars, I mean, you guys in your city, you don't know nothing until you get out there in Colorado. You get up so high, there's no light. There's no artificial light. You know, that gospel in the stars has been polluted by the world, hasn't it? Satan takes everything that God does, and now we got, instead of astronomy, we got astrology. And they make it sound fictional, what's up in the stars. They did the same thing to the Word of God. Once he got the written Word of God, he did the same thing. He polluted the Word of God. It's the same thing. Satan is at work. But if we, in essence, concentrate on the words, these words, meditate them in our heart, then we will be acceptable in eyesight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Those are the three things we need to keep in mind at all times. Whenever I see, if you study prayers in the Bible, you know the one thing, the theme that you see? They start out saying, you are the God of gods. You are the God of creation. Have you ever prayed that? Every now and then I just said, you are. You are it. You are the God of gods. You are the utmost. You are the highest. Sometimes, you know, we think just about our earthly situations and everything else, but perspective is everything, right? Imagine what it's going to look like when we get up way up there looking down. This little marble looked pretty small, didn't it? So, Psalms 19, it's a great passage. It's a revelation from the beginning all the way down to where we're at today and why we need to be in the Word of God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your scripture and just how we can trust it. God, I thank you for your creation. I thank you for being able to be with these people tonight. And I just pray that each one will be encouraged from knowing that you have chosen to communicate to us in a way that is visible but yet spiritual. We just pray that you'll bless the remainder of our weekend, our evening, and our morning. Especially just pray for a blessing upon the young people as they get together, give safety to the people coming from church. And give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Oh, here it is. I pulled it up and put it away. There's more than one dragon in here. And you see him with his foot on his... I gotta believe that when it was originally exposed to Job and that... Oh, by the way, those stars that we talked about, Buddhas and Articus, those are all in... Those that were in the Bible are also in the gospel, are in the stars. They actually exist. Everything... Well, he said he named the stars. But, yeah, this is pretty cool.